Spirit from me. Restore. The joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, cast me not away. It's good to be in church. Let's stand. Let's try this tonight. You help me out. I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, they'll be singing in the house of the Lord. Oh, they'll be singing in the house of the Lord. Yes, there'll be singing in the house of the Lord. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. There'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, I I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. And they'll be preaching in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be preaching in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be preaching in the house of the Lord. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there'll be praying in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be praying in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be praying in the house of the Lord. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there'll be singing in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be singing in the house, oh, of the Lord. There'll be singing in the house of the Lord. And there'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. Oh, there'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. Yes, there'll be shouting in the house of the Lord. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me.
Feel tonight? Amen. Sure is good to be here.
It's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with Him I am going. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway. The King's highway. Oh, no, you don't have to worry. You don't have to hurry. Walking up the King's highway. For Christ walks beside me. His angels, they guide me. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. And if you're not walking, just start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. And there'll be a blessing you'll be possessing. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart.
Why don't you take somebody by the hand and greet them this evening? The Lord. Amen. It's good to be in church. Have a testimony here to start this off with. Sister Teresa Sargent turned this in. It is a total miracle. My nephew is alive. He took over 1,000 extra strength Tylenol. The doctors have never seen such a bad case. He is not in liver failure. Physically, he is doing good. Everybody at the hospital are saying he is a miracle. He is alive. I know God will finish the work he has begun and will heal his mind. Thank you for prayers and continue for his mental healing. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? If it's not your time, you're not going to go. So just thankful that he spared his life. As we go to prayer. A lady I work with is no longer allowed to work because she went to the hospital and has to have surgery on her neck and back. They said if she would have fallen, she could have been paralyzed. It was so bad. She has been in severe pain with narrowing spine, pinched nerves, and with closing vertebrae. And that's from Sister Sarah Halchin. Please remember Lois Clements of Danville, Kentucky. That's the wife of Junior Clements. She had a stroke, and her family requested prayer for God to heal her. Please remember Andrew Layton in prayer. He has an ear and sinus infection plus bronchitis. And please pray for my sister, Suzanne. This is the one who lost her son a few months ago. She is barely struggling to make it each day through her grief and called me today and asked us to please remember her in prayer tonight. That's from Sister Stephanie Duval. And she also asked that we pray for her mom, Sister Joy Duval. She is having an outpatient procedure tomorrow afternoon. So definitely want to remember those needs in prayer. And a prayer request for Brother Johnson's cousin's family. Their son has committed suicide. So what a tragic situation. And we want to remember that family in prayer for comfort at this time. If you have an unspoken prayer request, could you make that known to the Lord? He sees each hand. Brother Trevor, would you come and lead us in prayer? Good to have you back with us, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just wonderful to be here.
And God bless you, saints. It's good to be back home. We had a nice time away, a little bit of time in the mountains, and just a good time of resting, recovery. It was a blessing to us. So, Brother Tao is here from Ivory Coast in the back. You just lift your hand, raise. You know, well, you all saw him. He was taking pictures, maybe. Maybe he's wanting to see how about getting a stained glass window in his church there in Ivory Coast. I don't know, but, Brother and Sister Robson here from Tucson, Arizona, from Israel's church as well. They've been here with us before, but just make sure you greet them in the parking lot. And then any other visitors I might not know, but God bless you. We're all glad to be assembled together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to lift your name high, Lord Jesus. Just want to tell you, Lord, that we find you to be the great master of everything, Father. Lord, as we were just up in the mountains the other day and we went high up and 4,000 or 5,000 feet up, out on this deck, Lord, just overlooking the Smoky Mountains that you created, Lord, and the The sunset was there, and the colors, the greens, the orange, pink, Lord, everything. Lord, you were, Lord, the great painters of all time couldn't come up with that on their own. They could only paint what you'd already painted in front of them. They could only capture what you had already put there. Father, you're the master artist. You are such an amazing and such a good God. Lord, we just want to thank you that we have the opportunity to be your children. We want to thank you, Lord, that you put something down inside of us to recognize who you are. That we wouldn't just be living on this earth in misery and depression, Father, because we don't know who we are, or where we've come from, or what purpose there is on this earth. But Father, you've placed some revelation on the inside of our hearts, and we've responded to the word of God, and we can see and know who you are, and know who we are and where we're headed. Lord, what a comfort that is. What a wonderful thing that is. Lord, it's so good to fulfill the purpose that you have created us for, Lord, to come and worship you, to have fellowship with you. So, Father, as we just begin this service, Lord, may you be welcome in our midst. May you inhabit the praises of your people. Father, many requests, many of them very serious, too numerous for me to repeat to you, but you heard them as they were read. Father, different depressions, different sicknesses, just thinking of this one that lost the child, Lord, and Lord, just struggling to come to grips with it and to understand where your grace is in it all. Father, would you comfort that one? And Lord, those in need of healing, myself even, Lord, could use a touch from you. Lord, but you said healing was the children's bread, so we just partake of that, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Claim our God-given inheritance, Lord, not because we're anyone, but, Father, because you are someone and that you gave it to us. So we thank you, Father. Now, Lord, would you bless the word as it goes forth, Lord? May you let it become real in our hearts, Lord, and may we grow thereby. Lord, we know we have spiritual food in due season. Lord, it's a time of famine everywhere else, but, Father, for your bride, you've given us this message, the word of this hour. Lord, we're so thankful for it. Quicken it to us, Lord, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. You serve an on-time God tonight? Amen.
He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is.
Special.
Oh, He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. Well,
Praise the Lord. It's really short, but I sung it at another church, and they said they'd never heard it before, so I don't know if you guys heard it before, so maybe something new you guys want to learn. Anyways, I guess you guys can join in. Lord, my heart is open. Won't you come inside? Fill up all my being, ever to abide. Oh, I've opened every window and thrown wide every door. So come inside, dear Lord, I need you more and more and more. Oh Lord, my heart is open. Won't you come inside? Oh,
sure appreciate that, sister. So true. What a wonderful message. God bless you. This is 319 in your hymn book. You thankful for the blood tonight? Amen.
Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me. It was way that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh yes, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the it will never lose
let's sing that last verse. It's who my dad.
Aren't you thankful?
Yes.
Amen. Good to be in church again tonight.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. My, it feels like the presence of the Lord is already here, and I think we'll just be able to have church tonight.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Good to have each and every one of you with us tonight, every home folk and every visitor. Brother Tao, good to have him from Ivory Coast, and Brother Morris back there from Liberty, Kentucky, and the different ones from Tucson, the Robson family, the different ones. So certainly good to be in church, and I hope you came expecting tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm chapter 37, if you'd turn with me tonight. And we want to continue looking at this thought of yield, but I want to look specifically at the thought of the footsteps of the righteous tonight. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come together and worship you. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel here. Lord, we thank you for the songs of Zion that we've sang, Lord, for every singer and every musician, Lord, and for those that are, Lord, gathered together tonight to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, we commit the service into your hands. Lord, we know in our own, in our humanity, Lord, there's nothing that we could produce of eternal value. But Lord, if you'll come and visit us again in a supernatural way tonight, Lord, that you'll be able to speak to hearts and encourage those that are discouraged. Lord, deliver those that are bound. Heal those that are sick. Save those that are lost. Fill those that are empty. Lord, any that have addictions that they're struggling with, you're able to come and free and deliver them of that, Lord. Whatever the need, Lord, whatever the situation, you're able to come on the scene and turn the whole picture around. So we commit it to you tonight, Father. Lord, we give you glory and praise for the testimonies that we've heard and the things that you're doing and that we believe you'll continue to do. Lord, we give you glory and praise and honor for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I believe the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The deacons were giving me a hard way to go about some things today, and then we were giving Brother Hoover a hard way to go about some things, and he said, just think, the very deacons you voted in. And I said, yeah, and I can't say that it was a mistake because of the way that the Lord's leading the service tonight, because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered. So we find, Brother Bam says in Hear Ye Him in 1957, he said, Jesus never went places or did things unless it had a meaning. Anything that Jesus did or said or any place that he went, it had a meaning. Again, a meaning rather. Again, Hear Ye Him, 1957, a different version of the same sermon. He says, we find as we read this marvelous word of God, we find out that where our Lord Jesus was always about the Father's business, every step that he made had a meaning. There was not one act that he did, but what was ordained of God. And it does us good to think that the Bible said the footsteps of a righteous is ordered of the Lord. So when we go to do something, I think it would behoove us, that, Lord, what is your purpose? What is your goal? What is the meaning that you would have me do? Why am I doing this? What is my motive and what is my goal? And is it something that is just for myself, or is it something that's going to benefit somebody else in some way? Is it something that's needful? And Jesus, when he would go about, Brother Branham says it this way. We'll look at it in a quote here in a moment. He said he wasn't just gadding about. He wasn't just going from here to here randomly. But the Holy Spirit, being the fullness of it, dwelling in him, would lead him and guide him. Different places there in St. John, it said that the Spirit would lead him into the wilderness, or the Spirit would lead him to do certain things. So if we claim to be the children of God and claim to have the Spirit of Christ, then it should act in us the same way, that when we go to do something, it should have a purpose. Now, it seems like many, many things in life, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of purpose in it of what we're trying to do or what we're trying to accomplish. I feel like many times there's many, many. And I'm not just preaching out here to you tonight. I'll look in the mirror and preach to me as well. But I feel like there's many times that we do things that are wasteful, things that isn't becoming to the Lord, that there's maybe not a real purpose in it. Now, there's other things that maybe they're just things in the natural. Maybe it's something that to look at, it doesn't look like it would have some great supernatural or some great spiritual significance. And yet we can do those things with a purpose to where it's not a waste of our time. There's a purpose. There's a motive behind it. I could give lots of examples tonight, you know, different things that different ones like to enjoy. I'll just use our own family tonight, for example. You know, sometimes at the house we'll play a game, a board game or something like that. Well, there's not really a whole lot of spiritual value to playing a board game. But yet, there's nothing wrong with it either if you're doing it in the right way and in the right time and the right conditions and all that. But my motive in playing, no matter what my wife tells you tonight, right now, my motive in playing is not just so that I can beat her or just so that I can say, hey, I won. But my motive in doing that, what is it doing? It's bringing the family together to do something besides just sitting and looking at a screen or sitting there and just zoning out on our devices or whatever it be. It's an interaction, whether it's hiking or playing a board game or going riding bikes together or whatever it would be that you like to do. You know, I don't think that we can spiritualize a bike ride or that we can spiritualize a board game, but yet there's a purpose and a motive for it, and so there's value to it, because what's it doing? It's bringing the family together for some family time. So I believe sometimes when we look at things, if we're not careful, the enemy will try to push us way off of here to one extreme, and you know, we'll get this mentality that, well, I have to be so super duper spiritual that everything that I do and every breath that I breathe and everything that I say and do, hey, there were times that Jesus just got away into the desert for a little while. There were times that he would go fishing with the disciples. Now, maybe nothing supernatural happened on that exact fishing trip. There were other times when he would take those same fish and those same type of loaves and he would do something supernatural with it. Yet, he had a motive and a purpose. Maybe it was just to get away and rest his physical body for a while, or maybe it was something that he had something that he needed to tell the disciples, and the atmosphere had to be right and the timing had to be right, and there were things that he was going to share. Yet there would be things that he would do, yet not haphazardly, not just to kill time, not, well, I'm bored, so I'm just going to sit here and do this, or I'm selfish, so I'm just going to go out and do this, but with a purpose and a motive. Hear ye him, 1956. Again, he hadn't been gadding about in places and say, you see who I am? My campaign's the biggest there is in the country. Oh, my. Well, you know, that didn't die back there in Pentecost and didn't die back there in Jesus' day. He did it. But those spirits still go around. But I'm not here to try to prove I'm bigger than somebody else or my crowd's bigger than somebody else or anything like that. That's silly, petty stuff. Amen. You know, a lot of times if you're not careful, I guess we consider ourselves now, we keep calling it a little church, but I guess we're kind of a medium-sized church at this point. And you know, a lot of times the little bitty churches, they look at the great big church and they'll say, well, if there was anything to that guy, if he was really preaching the truth, he wouldn't have crowds that size. And then the great big church, they'll look down at the little bitty guy and they'll say, well, if God was really doing something for them, then they'd have more people. And so I'm glad just to be kind of a middle-sized church in the middle of the road where, we don't get caught on either side of it. But God has a way of doing things, doesn't he? And, you know, it's not about the amount of people in the pew. It's about the quality of the Holy Spirit. I'd rather have five people on fire with the Holy Spirit and with a motive and a purpose for the kingdom of God than I would to have 5,000 sitting there popping their chewing gum and, well, when's he going to be done, and just coming to fill a seat or to say that they did their civic duty. I can honestly say that. I'd rather have five on fire for God than I would 5,000 that was pulling against me. So it's not about the size of the ministry or the size of the church. It's about what are we doing for the kingdom of God. Amen. Noah didn't have a real big congregation, but he did a whole lot for the kingdom of God. He says, yes, sir, he'd been obedient. He'd been obedient to the Father. He hadn't been gadding around the things of the world associating with them. He'd been obedient. Now, this word gad, if you look it up on dictionary.com, it means to move restlessly or aimlessly from one place to another. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I know we've got some believers like that, that they're just so nervous and so upset that they're just moving aimlessly. I got to have fellowship with somebody. I'm bored. I'm lonely. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to run over here and do this, and I got to do that, and I got to stay busy, and I got to do this and that and the other. And if they're not carefully, they're just restlessly and aimlessly moving from one place to another. So if you're in that condition tonight, I pray that God will give you meaning and purpose to your life. Amen, that you can take that nervous energy and use it for the kingdom of God instead of just using it to gossip or just to go do this or go do that or waste all your time. Turn that into something for the kingdom of God. Turn it into something that's going to be a benefit for your family or a benefit for your spiritual life or a benefit to somebody else. Hear ye him again, 1957. And we should not be just gadding about from place to place. We should always go and consider the Lord before we go. Yeah. Do you do that when you leave home? Pray, Lord, help me to have a safe journey over where I'm going and back. Ordering my steps today that I'll not step out of your blessed path. But if I should make the wrong move, you'll warn me and bring me back into the right way again. If my tongue should start to speak the thing that was not right, will you just stop my tongue from speaking? Bring me back into the right place again. And if I should start to think wrong thoughts, will you just change my way of thinking? Let me think the right things. Oh, this is the kind of people that we should be tonight. Not just gadding about from place to place, not just wasting our time, not just going about haphazardly, but what does the scripture tell us? Said, oh, you know, go to you that says, I'll go and do a certain thing and then I'll return in a few days or whatever. He said, we should say, if the Lord's will. Amen. If the Lord's will, I'll borrow one of Brother Morris's stories that he tells. He said there was a man that was going down to sell a cow, and he was walking down by his neighbors there and everything. They said, "Where are you going, good sir?" He said, "I'm going to go sell this cow." They said, "Don't you mean God willing?" He said, "God don't have anything to do with this. I'm selling the cow." And he goes down about halfway there. Some men jump on him and beat him and rob him and steal the cow and about take half of his clothes off him. And he comes back and his clothes all ripped and torn and dragging and beaten. And the man said, "Where are you going, sir?" He said, "I'm going home, God willing." Amen. So we should. It behooves us to say, Lord, I've got something today. I've got a plan. I've got an agenda. I've got places that I need to go and things that I need to do. But Lord, I want to yield myself to you so that you can have control of my agenda, that you can have control of my calendar, that you can have control of my day, Lord, that if there's something that I'm going to do that would hinder my walk with you or that would cause me to get in trouble morally or physically or whatever it would be, Lord, I ask you to guide my steps. And I ask you to lead me, even if it seems like I'm going way out around and I'm frustrated because I'm in traffic and I don't want to be in traffic. I want to be 5 miles down the road. Lord, I'm trusting in you to guide my life. I'm trusting in you to guide my footsteps. James 4:15 is where it is. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. I want to give him complete control of my life. Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to use my time? What would you have me to say? Lord, if it's not pleasing to you, I don't want to waste my time, and I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to waste anybody else's time, but Lord, could you take complete control? You see, God can guide our footsteps like that. Many times if we're not careful, we put that back in Bible times or we put that back in the days of the prophet. But the same Holy Spirit that led those men in Bible times, the same Holy Spirit that could lead a man to pick up a quill or a pen or whatever it would be and sit down and begin to write the scriptures, the same one that could lead them through deserts and fiery furnaces and lion's dens, the same one that could lead a prophet of God to get off of a plane in Memphis, Tennessee when he wasn't supposed to be in Memphis, Tennessee, but they had to stop because the weather was so bad, and they put him up in a nice hotel, and he didn't just stay there and take him a bubble bath and say, "Thank God for the nice hotel," but he walks downtown, and he says, he begins to mail some letters and things, and God begins to guide his footsteps. And God begins to lead him. And he's leading him in a direction that he doesn't want to go, Brother Hoover. And he knows his plane's back here. And the time is running out for the departure of his plane. But he's not going to trust in the plane. And he's not going to trust in his own ability. But he was trusting in a God that could guide his footsteps. And so he begins to walk. And the Lord tells him, just keep walking. But Lord, I'm getting into a bad area of town. But just keep walking. But Lord, I haven't seen any people of my color in a while. Well, just keep walking. But Lord, this seems ridiculous in my intellectual ability. But just keep walking. But Lord, this isn't what I had planned today. I'm planning on leaving on a plane and being somewhere else. But just keep walking. Amen. He gets down to a little lady there with a sick son, and God does something supernatural. And God was not only able to heal her boy, God was not only able to save her boy, but God was able to hold the plane on the ground for the whole time that he needed for his servant to get there and back. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. He's a God that does the supernatural. He's a God that does the exceeding abundant. He's a God that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His plans are better than anything that you could sit down and figure out to do for your day or to do for your life or to do for the next week or month or year, whatever it would be on your calendar. He is the best schedule maker of anybody that has ever been. Amen. He's the best wedding coordinator. He's the best party planner. He's the best job hunter. Amen. Oh my, what do you have need of tonight? He's the best physician. Amen. If we would just yield to him when we walk. Brother Tao was telling us a testimony, and he said that He was driving over in Ivory Coast. He was telling me and Brother Norbert the other day when we went out to eat, and he was driving along in his car in Ivory Coast there, and they have like we have where when you come to a four-way stop, you're supposed to actually stop. And then if there's somebody coming, you yield to them, and then you turn right or whatever way that you're going. And he did like a lot of us, and he didn't stop. He just kind of went and took a right turn and just kept on rolling, and there happened to be a police officer sitting right there. And so the police officer stops him, and he says, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to a meeting. I'm a preacher. And he said, you're a preacher and you're driving like this? Amen. I know some of us preachers can relate. Amen. I'm not just throwing Brother Tao under the bus, but amen. Thank God there hasn't been one sitting sometimes when I was running late to church, or I'd maybe be calling Brother Furman and say, sing a little longer, brother, until somebody can bail me out. He said, you mean you're driving like this and you're a preacher? He said, yes, sir. And he said, well, we're going to take you downtown and give you a ticket. And so he takes him downtown there, and he says, how much is the ticket going to be? He said, the ticket's going to be $5. And he said, well, I've only got $5 to pay my gas where I'm going and back. And he said, well, I'm sorry. You did the crime. You're going to pay. And so he's going to write him out a ticket here for $5. About this time, the four police officers bring a woman in, and she's demon-possessed, and she's fighting these four preachers and throwing them across the room, and they begin to get very concerned. They stop being so concerned about Brother Tao for a minute, and they go over to deal with this lady, and they don't know what to do with her, and she's throwing them left and right, and he just walks over and kind of softly speaks, and that lady just kind of withers down and sits down in a chair. And the police officers looked at him, and they said, goodness gracious. He said, what about my ticket? They ripped it up. You don't owe no ticket. That's not the end of the story. Don't clap yet. They said, you don't owe no ticket. And one police officer said, you said you only have $5 to go where you're going and back. He said, here's 10 more. And another police officer said, here's 10 more. And a third police officer said, here's 10 more. And instead of owing five, he got 30. Amen. Now, you can argue and debate over whether that illegal right turn was the footsteps of the Lord or not, but he needed to be there for a reason and a time and a place and a purpose. Sometimes, we'll read it in a moment, Brother Ram says, sometimes even through what looks like our mistakes, God can use it for His will. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Brother Nathan, you have wore that scripture out. Well, my mom wore it out on me years before I ever wore it out on you all. So, you know, but all things. It didn't say good things. It didn't say the mediocre things. All things. The good, the bad, the ugly. When your bank account's full, when you're overdrawn, when you got so much work you can't handle it, when you can't hardly find a dime to rub together, God is in control of the whole thing. Amen. When you got so much health in your body, you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. God's good, and He's got it all under control. And when you're laying in a hospital bed with IVs in your arms, and the doctor says there's no hope for you, God's got that under control too. Amen. What was Brother Furman just singing? He's not, you know, it's not just good in the mountaintops. It's good in the valleys. The blood is still good in the valleys. He's not just the God on the mountain, but He's the God of your valley. He's the God of your way up the hill. He's the God of on your way down on the other side of the mountain when you're going back into a valley. He is God wherever you are, whatever you are going through. If you'll just yield your footsteps to Him tonight, He'll bring you through. All things work together for good. You say, Brother Nathan, how could this work together for good? You don't know about this situation in my life. You don't know about this tragedy in my family. You don't know, hey, let me ask you this. How could God bring a man through that had taken 1,000 extra strength Tylenols and bring him through after they got done with him and say, there's no liver damage? Amen. The doctor can't explain that. But all things. Amen. If he had to go through that, no matter how tragic the emotional experience was on his mind, no matter how tragic the physical experience was on his body, maybe God allowed that to happen to get his attention, to save his soul, and to let him know that, hey, there's people that care about you, and there's a Jesus Christ that cares about you enough to die for you and save you. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. We look at things, we look at tragedy, and we look at difficulties, and if we're not careful, we paint a picture of a terrible God. But Brother Branham would look at one of the most terrible events in all of history, in the 6,000 years of man. One of the most terrible events that I could think of is the Holocaust, when millions of Jews were being taken to their death, unwillingly, unwittingly, not knowing where they were going, not having any ability to control anything about it, and taken and boxed up into boxcars and taken into gas chambers and killed like sheep. One of the worst things I can ever think of that happened in history, Brother Hoover. And a prophet of God looks at it and says, it was the gentle hand of Jehovah that had to get his people back in their homeland so that he could bless them. My, what do we learn from this? That God's a bad God? No, we learn that you can come the easy way or you can come the hard way, but God's will be manifested. Amen. If you're one of God's, you can submit to him and say, hey, God, I'm coming the easy way. I'm not going through the fire. I'm not going through the lion's den. I'm just gonna run to you and get to you while the getting's good. Or you can fight and you can crawl and you can drag and you can bite and say, Lord, no, I don't want to serve you. I'd rather do this over here. It's easier. I'm not as made fun of when I just live how I want to. I'll just go my own way and go with the flow. But if you're one of his, he'll find you somewhere and he'll get you into a condition where you're ready to say, okay Lord, you're right. I was wrong, Lord, but you were right. Amen. Then Jesus came, 1957, and many times we think that it's disappointing when we get down sick or feel that something has happened. But if you just won't be discouraged and remember that all things work together for good to them that love God, the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. Amen. You're not here by accident tonight. Amen. If you're one of God's children, Brother Tao's here from Ivory Coast, but I don't believe he's here by accident tonight. Brother Morris dropped by from Liberty, Kentucky. I don't believe he's here by accident tonight. I didn't beg those brothers to come. I didn't ask them to come tonight. But they're here. I believe God's got something for them. Amen. I believe God's got something for you tonight. Maybe you didn't feel like coming. Maybe you had a busy day at school. Maybe you got to leave here right after and go home and study homework. But you sacrificed some time to come here. I believe the Lord ordered that. Maybe you had a bad day at work. Maybe the boss cussed you out and lined you out. And you didn't feel like coming to church, but you made it anyhow. I believe God will honor that. Amen. I believe God will bless that. We've got people from Tucson, Arizona here tonight. I don't even know exactly how they heard about our church or how they got here to begin with. I know they visited several times. I'm glad to have them here, but I don't believe it's by accident tonight. They could have came any other service, but God has them here for a reason. God has you here for a reason. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, there are people that just live haphazardly and they go about life and just whatever goes, that's what they're going to do. They just go with the flow, and if it's popular, they'll do it, and if it's a little bit of suffering, they won't, and if it's going to help them get a little bit ahead, they'll cut corners and do things wrong or whatever. But those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. So if we're going to be sons and daughters of God, then our desire, our motive should not be, I want and I need and I want it to happen this way, but Lord, what would you have for me to do? What would you have for me to say? Where would you have for me to go? How can I be an impact for the kingdom of God? A greater than Solomon is here, 1963. Sometimes he makes us do things very contrary to what we think, but we're always, if we're following the leading of the Spirit, we are always in his will. God does what he wants to. He says sometimes he makes us do things contrary to what we think. I was going to wait till Sunday morning, but if I remember, I'll do it again Sunday morning. But I want to praise some of our young people, because I've been hearing testimonies back, and sometimes you think I just hear the bad things about you, and then I get up and preach on those. But I want to share some good things, too. I've been hearing some testimonies of what God is doing for young people in our church, and how that God is using young people in our church to encourage others to make the right decisions and to stick with the Word and to stay with the Lord and with the leading of the Lord. And I want to say tonight, Sometimes that may be even contrary to their own desires or their own ideas, but they look into the Word and they see, look, this is what the Word said, and not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to encourage somebody else to do that, maybe at the risk of getting made fun of, maybe at the risk of getting said, oh, you're just an old sour sap, you don't want to have no fun. Hey, Brother Branham went through that too. He had a little girlfriend there. He said, eyes like a dove and neck like a swan and all that. And he said, she said, hey, Billy, you want to go down to the dance? I don't dance. Okay. You want to smoke? No, I don't smoke. You want to drink? No, I don't drink. Well, what do you do? Well, I like to fish and I like to hunt. And he was just an old sour sap to them, but yet God was using him in a mighty way beyond what those little kids sitting there could ever imagine could be done in the earth. God was training up a young man to use him. And you see, usually when God is training up young people, He won't just train up He won't just train them up in a flowery bed of ease. But usually, if you go back and you look at history and you look at the scriptures, those young men and young women that were rising up in their generation to do something for God, the devil would also always slip somebody in to try to pull them away or try to influence them the wrong way or try to hinder them or try to upset them. It's not always an easy path, not just for the young folks, but for the adults too. It's not always an easy choice to say, I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what anybody else says or thinks. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Brother Branham said his parents told him when he got that old time religion, said, you can't have that around here. Said, if you're going to have that, you're going to have to get out of our house. And he said he took him a little knapsack and he folded it together and walked out of the house. Wasn't an easy decision, but he did it. Queen of Sheba, 1960, or Queen of the South, rather. I've done things myself, and so have you. You thought it was silly to really what you thought was right, but come to find out it was exactly right, see? God always does that because He leads the righteous. You just go the way the Spirit leads. Amen. He would be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, having meetings, and he'd want to go down and get some breakfast. And him and Sister Branham and another sister that was with them, they would begin to go, and he'd say, the Holy Spirit, as they left the hotel and was walking down through Fort Wayne, he'd say, the Holy Spirit wants me to stop here at this little cafeteria here. And the sister with him said, Brother Branham, if you get back in there and people recognize who you are, we'll never be able to get out of there. And he said, but the Lord's leading me to stop here. And they go in and they sit down and get their table, and a lady comes in. She looks and she stops. She said, Brother Branham, said, the Lord told me to be here at 9 a.m. in a dream last night. Why? Because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And he would leave the restaurant. He'd walk out onto the sidewalk and he'd stop. And the Holy Spirit would tell him, just stop right here a minute. My, you know the Lord can still lead like that. The Lord can lead you where to go and when to go and when to stop and when to move forward and when to go backward and what church to visit and who to fellowship with and who to encourage and who might really need that quote or that scripture that's burning on your heart and you don't know why, or that when you get up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock and you think, Lord, what woke me up? Did a noise wake me up? What was it that's going on? You can't get back to sleep and you begin to pray and say, Lord, what is it? Why am I awake? And the Lord impresses somebody on your heart and you may not know that clear across town at that same time the devil may be bombarding them saying, why don't you go ahead and take your life? There's nobody that cares about you. There's nobody that loves you. But God is leading and guiding somebody to raise up a standard, to raise up a banner and say, look, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of the bloody Prince of Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk where He would lead me. Amen. I'm not going to go of my own accord. I'm not going to go of my own will, but I will follow Him. Amen. There were some men that did that in the book of Acts, and people got so upset, Brother Jimmy, they said, these men turned the world upside down. Brother Bram said, no, it was turned upside down. They turned it back right. That's the picture of today, isn't it? You look out here, and you look, you read the news if you dare because of the craziness that goes on and the things that are being said in the news, and you look around and you see what is happening and taking place and the morals of people and the way they live and the choices they make and the lifestyles that they have, and you go out here and you would try to tell one of them about the saving power of Jesus Christ and they'd say, you're crazy. And we think, goodness gracious, we're crazy? We're crazy. People out here trying to marry their cars and their computers and their dogs and whatever they want. And we're crazy. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, 1962. And I don't care what the man of God does. If he's ordained of God, he might do things that he thinks is crazy to himself. But if you only watch, it works right out exactly right if he just goes the way he's led. I wonder what we would think of a prophet of God that he said he'd get up there, not just on the platform, Brother Layton, but on the pulpit. He would sit on the pulpit with his legs hanging over. Because he got so anointed by the Spirit with his legs swinging over. Oh, if I jumped up there tonight, I wonder what half of you would think. Thank goodness gracious. Oh, we knew our pastor had lost it, but this is the last straw. And he said then before he knew it, he was walking down the middle of the aisle, rolling up his pants legs. He said, I don't know why I was doing it, but it sure felt good. He might have thought it was crazy at the time, but you know what? It might have just been to get somebody that was so cold and formal and so dead in their religion to think, hey, what is going on here? There's something to this that it doesn't, you know, religion will kill you. But the old time religion, amen, the good old gospel religion, that old Holy Ghost and fire, it won't kill you. It'll quicken you. Amen. It'll quicken you to do something. It'll quicken you to say something to somebody. It'll quicken you to tell them about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, 1962. He said, that gives us ministers a time, a chance sometimes to kind of catch our breath when we think we made a wrong move. But sometimes God's just moving with us. We think it's wrong, but maybe it's God moving. He says again, greater than Solomon, 1963. And if we're trusting Him with all our heart, though we make a mistake, God will make it work around to His glory. Oh my, I know that scares some of us tonight, but that's what he said, whether it scares you or not. He said, even though we make a mistake, God will work it around to his glory. Can you imagine? He takes up for Jonah all the time. Here Jonah was running as hard away from God as he could run, but yet God had it all under control. Jonah was running just as hard away from what God's commission was as he could, and God was running just as fast as he could to get ahead of him with the special prepared fish, to have it waiting at the right place at the right time and say, okay, Jonah, I got you where I want you. Amen. Maybe some of you have some Jonahs in your family. Don't worry about them. You say, don't worry about them, Brother Nathan. How can I help from worrying about them? God has them exactly where he wants them. Amen. We have some Jonahs sitting here tonight that they tried to run, and maybe their family gave up, said, I don't know. They're going to lose their life out there somewhere. They're going to do something. They're what's going to happen to them? The way they're living and the way they're acting, the way they're doing, God had them right where he wanted them. Sometimes because of our stubbornness, God has to let us go a long ways before he pulls the line and reels us back in. A greater than Solomon is here, 1961. Sometimes you think you're making a mistake, but if the Spirit is leading you, go do it anyhow. The Holy Spirit tells some of you people in wheelchairs, get up and start walking. Walk anyhow. How am I going to do it? That's none of your business. That's not your business, he said. Just listen to what the Spirit says. Tells you to come at the altar, repent, do it. My neighbor, my pastor, I don't care what he says. What the Holy Spirit says, go do it. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He says, now many times I've went to cities, I thought I made a mistake, but I just kept on battling on. After a while, it wasn't a mistake. Any of you minister brothers beside me ever have experiences like that? Where you get up to preach a sermon, you think, goodness gracious, what is going on? This is falling as flat as it can be, and I feel like I can't preach my way out of a paper bag, and do I not have the will of God? Am I not at the right place? Am I not? And then all of a sudden, some unction of the Holy Spirit begins to kick in, like somebody cocking a shotgun, and all of a sudden, here you go. And you just don't know what took place or what's going on. Somebody come up after church and say, you don't know how much I needed that. Amen. Brother Layton, one time, I won't get the whole testimony right, so I'll keep it brief and concise to where he can straighten it out later, but he was invited to go somewhere to preach, and I don't remember all the details, but something came up where him or the pastor or something, they couldn't be there the week they were supposed to be, and so they had to reschedule to come later and had to work everything, rearrange everything, and seemed like it was just an inconvenience, and he got there, and he preached his heart out, and didn't seem like maybe the whole church was rejoicing or that it was for everybody there, and a sister comes up to him after church and said, Brother Layton, said God led you here and God led you to change the schedule. She said, because I wasn't here last week and I needed to hear what you said. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. God will lead you to the right place. God will lead you to the right person to witness to. God will lead you to the right moment many times, and maybe even right now as I'm speaking. See, God, something that Brother Ron Spencer taught me and Brother Trevor years ago is that God might spend thousands of years to orchestrate one moment. And God may have been planning, and he may have been having this one marry this one, and that one marry that one. And can you imagine all the work that went into coming all the way up to John the Baptist's parents, and here now his mom's barren, and God didn't just say, oh, goodness gracious, I've been trying to get this prophet on the scene. I've been working for 3,000 years to get him here, and now his mom's barren. I guess I just messed up. God knew all about it. God knew what he was doing. God knew how to get the attention of his daddy. And even though his daddy didn't respond and he said the wrong thing, instead of like Hattie Wright said the right thing, he said the wrong thing and the angel just shut his mouth for a few months. Sometimes I wonder if some of us would be better off if an angel would shut our mouth for a little while. You see, the same God that can open mouths can shut mouths. Amen. The same God that said, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it there in the Psalms, shut the mouth of the lions and the lion's den. Amen. So we have to find the mind of God. Lord, is it time to open my mouth or is it time to shut my mouth? And so this little baby would come along and be born to a woman who was barren. And he would come along and he would train and train and train. And God would take him out on the backside of the desert after his parents died. And he'd be out there for years and years and years getting training out there. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to some great cathedral. He's out there in the wilderness for 30 years training. And God uses him for a moment in time of 6 months. 6 months of ministry, and then he takes him off the scene. And John's sitting there in prison. The last few weeks of his life, Brother Man begins to tell us about how he got disillusioned. And he would come and he would have his disciples ask Jesus, are you he or do we look for another? The very messenger of the covenant that said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I saw the Lamb descending on him like a dove. And here he gets disillusioned and discouraged because his circumstances aren't what he was expecting them to be. But Lord, I trained. But Lord, I was out there. I wasn't part of the old boys club. I didn't have a bunch of buddies. I didn't have my name in lights. I was out there training and eating locusts and wild honey and living off the land for 30 years, Lord, training up. And this is all you got for me? An old prison? But the footsteps of the righteous are right where they're supposed to be. And God will orchestrate. God will maybe a man in studying, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe an evangelist or a pastor. They'll study and they'll pray and they'll seek God and they'll beat their head against the wall and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to say or do? Lord, what tape is it that you would have me to pick to play? Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? And then 90% of the time, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we second guess ourselves. And Lord, is this really you or isn't it really you? Is this me? Is it you? Is it me? Is it you? And we get out and we begin to test the waters and take a step forward and see, and then the Holy Spirit begins to take it and get a hold of it and do something for somebody. And the Lord orchestrated all of that. And maybe a man sitting over there getting white hair or losing hair, pulling it out over what to preach or what to say or what to do or what tape to pick or who to have in or whatever it be, whether to go to this country or that country or where he can be the most used, how he can spend his time most effectively. And God orchestrates all of that. And maybe in a congregation of 20 or 200 or 2,000, God will orchestrate that man to come right down somebody's pew and stop right there and maybe take half the service and just hammer away and hammer away and hammer away. And everybody else think, what is this guy talking about? I don't even need this. I don't even need what he's saying tonight. I'm way beyond this. And God orchestrated it for one person that had a need that God was going to impact them. And maybe everybody else sat there for an hour and a half and thought, I didn't get a whole lot out of the service. And that one person thinks, that service changed my life. Now, everybody was still in the same presence of the Lord. Everybody got to sing. Everybody got to worship. But it may have impacted certain people differently than it did everybody else. Was our gathering in vain? Was our studying in vain? If it was for one or 1 million, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, whatever you'd have me to say, I don't want to look at the numbers. I want to look at the results. Amen. And if one service can impact somebody for an eternal destination, it was worth every effort that was put into it. Amen. It was worth you getting here and pulling on the gift. Even if it wasn't for you tonight, it was worth your part. It was worth you coming. It was worth the miles that you drove. It was worth the gas and the tolls that you paid. It was worth, you know, being stressed trying to get here from work. It was worth all of it. Even if it's not something that maybe tonight won't change many of your life. Maybe you'll go out of here and feel just about the same as you did coming in. I know Brother Bram said none of us can leave and be truly the same as we was when we came in, but sometimes that's such a minuscule change for the better or the worse that we don't even notice it. We just go in and out like a revolving door. Well, it's church again, here we go. But if we could really get into the atmosphere of, Lord, this service is for somebody tonight. Amen. I want to get my part out of this service. Lord, if I can only get one slice that's for me and not the whole loaf, Lord, I want to enjoy that slice and I want to go home and meditate on that slice and I want to glorify you and praise you for that slice. If it was a special, if it was a song the song leader sang, if it was a quote the pastor read or a tape he played or just a snippet of something Brother Branham said in 30 seconds on the tape when he didn't fall asleep for that part and you got something out of it. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to take something home with me. I want to take something home for me. But Lord, if the whole thing's not for me tonight, I'm still going to pull and say, Lord, you bless somebody here tonight. You help somebody here tonight. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. I know we don't always feel like that. I know sometimes Satan bombards your mind and you feel like, Lord, what did I think this whole day that was pure or holy or righteous? All I did was worry about bills and worry about where I was going today and worried about traffic and worried about getting there on time and worried about this. And Satan bombarded me with evil thoughts about somebody and what they did to me and how I'm going to get back with them. And I have to keep just praying that out of my mind. And I trying to think on scriptures and trying to think on songs. And Lord, how can I have the mind of Christ? Well, if you're getting those things and pushing them back and Satan's trying to fly them over and dive bomb them to you and he keeps dropping more and you think, Lord, where did that thought come from? Why did I think that? Lord, why did I want to do that? Why did I want to yell at that guy in traffic? Why did I want to scream and shake my fist at him? Lord, that's not becoming to you. Well, if you're keeping those things from coming, not from coming, but keeping them from roosting and becoming actions, don't you realize that's what Jesus did for 40 days in the wilderness? Amen. Satan constantly bombarded him. Hey, why don't you go do this? Hey, it's written right here. Why don't you go do that? Why don't you throw yourself off of the pinnacle? Don't you think God will protect you? Why don't you go ahead and jump? Go ahead and do this. Why don't you try to exalt yourself? And why don't you bow before me? And why don't you make stones into bread? It's written. It's written. Jesus said, wait a minute, Satan. It's also written. I want to say in this day and age and in this hour that we live in, you better be able to say it is also written, because the devil will come to you and present the word to you in a way that looks right. But yet there's just something there that it's not, maybe it's a portion of the word, but 90% of it looks right, but there's just something else that's been twisted or not being fully said. They stopped and didn't read the rest of it or whatever it be. You better be able to say, but it's also written. But it's also written. Amen. Jesus would stand there and these thoughts would bombard him. And people would come and say things to him, tempting him and trying to get him to have a response. And he didn't just roll up his sleeves and say, well, let me tell you what I think about it. But the spirit inside of him, the flesh would yield to that spirit on the inside of him. Amen. If we have the mind of Christ, and if that mind that was in Christ be in us, then we'll have the same response that when something comes up, oh, on the outwardly, our flesh, we might be ready. Oh, you better not say that about my family, Brother Ben. You better not say that about this. You better not talk to me like that on my job. But yet then something on the inside of you says, now, wait a minute. Is that the way Jesus would have handled it? Is that the way Brother Branham would have treated that person? But they don't even believe like me. And they ignored me in Walmart. And they did this. But would they have handled it that way? You know, we've got some pretty good examples that went before us. And if we can follow the leading of the Spirit, He'll lead us to do the right things. And say the right things. Word became flesh, 1954. God's express thoughts into the human heart moves right on as the immortal God leads his subjects from place to place. Now, God, back in the beginning, when there wasn't anything, and I know we've looked at this over and over and over, but we'll look at it again tonight just briefly. when there wasn't anything, there wasn't a moon or a star, there wasn't a human being, there wasn't anything breathing the breath of life, there wasn't a fish, there wasn't a frog, there wasn't a chimpanzee, there wasn't anything. Yet, in the mind of God, there would be thoughts that he had had. He didn't just come up with these. This wasn't something new, but he had had these thoughts throughout all eternity. Now, I know our minds really can't comprehend that, and if we sit and try to wrap our mind around it, we get a little ways, and then our mind begins to explode, and we fall off the deep end and come back to it and try it again. But God, for eternity, had had these thoughts, and he'd had these attributes, and in his thinking, he saw a world that would be created. It would not be created with hammer and bricks and stone and mortar, but it would be created by the spoken word of God. Then he would see a group of people that would also come forth as a spoken word of God. And from them, generation after generation, seed would bring forth after its own kind. And those bodies, many of them would die, but the spirit would not die. God would take his man, but not his spirit. Satan would take his man, but not his spirit, and God would brood over the earth. God would come to redeem humanity in a three-stage way. He would cleanse them with water, he would cleanse them with fire, and he would fire the Holy Ghost, and he would cleanse them with blood. Yet he would come and he would cleanse the earth in the exact same way. He would cleanse it with water in the antediluvian destruction. Brother Ram tells us in Future Home, that's when the earth got her baptism of water. Then he would come and shed his blood physically on the earth, just like he did shed his blood abroad for us. He would shed his blood upon the earth, and he would cleanse it with blood as well. Then he will come and he will cleanse it with fire at the end time, and then it won't be a new heavens and a new earth like we think, because that heavens and earth was a part of the original attribute and thought in God's mind, but it had to go through a purification process to make it new, just like you had to go through a purification process for a new birth, for God to bring forth something new in you. Now, all of that was in God's mind back there in eternity, but yet it had never been expressed yet. And so God, with his thoughts back there in the beginning, he had thought of light for eternity. He had thought of Jerry Bryant and Morse Bryant and David Hoover. He had thought of Church of the Open Door and church over here and church over there, New Albany and all these different places. He had thought of that way back beyond the beginning of time. He had had that in his mind, but it had never come to pass because he had never expressed it as a word. And then one day God would say, "Let there be light." And light would break forth. He had no chemical to make the light with. His spoken word brought it forth. Now his thoughts back there, now they become expressed. Let there be a world. Let there be planets. Let there be suns. Let there be moons. Let there be fish. Let there be trees. Let there be man. Let's create man in our own image, spirit man. Then let's create a body that he can live in, and we'll come and walk with him in the garden. And he would create down through, and when he creates man in spirit form back there in his mind, and he speaks that, he had all of humanity in his mind, all of those predestinated seeds that would come down through there. Those thoughts began to be expressed in word, and now it would take time for those things to be produced in physical form. So now Brother Branham tells us that his expressed thoughts, they didn't just stop back there in Genesis, but now he is expressing his thoughts into human hearts. And when that thought comes into a predestinated son or daughter of God and two omnipotents meet, Brother Branham said, what happens when two omnipotents meet? Something's going to take place. And so when these two omnipotents meet and God takes a thought from eternity and places it in Brother Lee's mind or Brother Hoover's mind, and maybe they think, am I crazy? Why am I feeling led to do this? Why am I feeling led to go down to the hospital and pray for this person? They don't even like me. They don't even believe like I do. But God begins to place that thought. And then Brother Hoover or Brother Lee or whoever it be speaks it as a word expressed and says, Sister Janie or Sister Debbie, whoever it is, I'm going down there and praying for so-and-so. Honey, don't you know the way they've talked about you? They don't even go to our church. They don't even stand for what we stand. I don't care. God is expressing a thought in my mind that I need to go down there and do this, and I believe it's for a reason. And so then God takes that immortal thought and places it into a human heart, and it moves right on, and that mortal begins to go out and do immortal works. Oh, my. When this mortal puts on immortality, When this corruption puts on incorruption, that corruption begins to go out and do things that will have an eternal impact on somebody. And they go, and God, the immortal God, begins to place his immortal thoughts in a mortal being, in a mortal vessel that's hopefully a predestinated seed down on the inside. And God begins to speak those thoughts to them, and they begin to put those thoughts into action. And God leads that mortal. God leads his subjects from place to place to place. You ever experienced that? Think, why on earth did I do this? Why would I pray for that person? I bet they ain't praying for me. Well, God maybe didn't ask them to pray for you. John chapter 2, verse 20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. This word unction, I just keep, you know, all this week in conversations with Brother Tao and Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor and different ones, Brother Stephen, these two things just kept coming to my mind in conversations. The footsteps of the righteous and unction. And he says, you have an unction from the Holy One. Now, this unction means an act of anointing, the shedding of a divine or spiritual influence upon a person. Brother Branham tells us in what was the Holy Ghost given for in 1959. He says, well, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's to give unction to the preacher. It's to give holiness to the group. It's to set the church in order. It's to bring unity of spirit. It's to unite us with power. It's to unite us together with brotherly love. That's what the Holy Spirit was given for. And the Holy Spirit can come and give you unction. He can give you anointing. He can give you something that maybe you recognize, hey, this isn't me, because I wouldn't act this way. And maybe your loved ones can look at you and say, that ain't how Trevor used to act when he was a teenager. And that ain't how Jimmy used to act when he was a teenager. We know that ain't Jimmy's nature. So there's something that's influencing Jimmy. There's another nature that's inside of Jimmy, because Jimmy's old nature didn't act like that. Furman's old nature, I knew him when he was a mean little boy, and he knew me when I was a mean little boy, and we didn't act like that, okay? But there was something else, another nature that would come and give anointing or give unction, that it's not your life anymore. Paul said, not I that lives, but Christ that lives within me, and it would give you unction to make you do things and say things and treat people ways that you know you couldn't do on your own. I thank God for unction. Amen. We need more of it. Lord, give us unction. Give us unction to go do something. Give us anointing. Give us inspiration. Give us wisdom. Give us leading. Give us guidance, Lord, to go do something. Lord, you just point me in the right direction and wind me up and let me go, Lord. Amen. Do something for me, Lord. Do something in me. Do something through me. Not so that I can say, hey, look what a great guy Nathan Bryan is, but so that I can use my time for the kingdom of God. Not just sit around like a bump on a log and waste my time, but so that I can do something that'll have an impact on somebody. Lord, I'm tired of wasting my time. I want unction. Amen. I want the unction of the Holy Spirit to guide me from that first cup of coffee in the morning till the last one before I lay down. Some of you can't do that. I can do that. Amen. I can drink a cup of coffee or a Mountain Dew or whatever in the morning, in the evening, middle of the night, whatever it is, it don't bother me. I guess I'm like, you know, somebody they get so much hooked on whatever it is, you know, drugs or whatever, and they just have to keep having more and more and more. They get to a point where it just don't affect them anymore. So they got to get a bigger drug or a higher drug. And I guess coffee and Mountain Dew just don't do it for me anymore. But that's all right. I still enjoy the taste. Now I'm going to be getting emails and quotes on caffeine addiction. I'm not addicted. I can stop anytime. And I have. Amen. I've gone for months just drinking water, you know, whatever the Lord leads. But the point of the story is, the moral of the story is, it's not how much coffee you drink or I drink, but the moral of the story. There was a brother came one time when he was at the storefront. He preached on caffeine real hard. You know how we all need to cut back on caffeine. I found a picture online the next day, and I sent it to him. I texted it to him. It was a cup that was about this big, wide, and this tall. And I said, brother, it's okay. I've cut back to one cup a day. God give us unction. God give us unction to do something for him. Lord, I don't want to just wake up in the morning and go through life complacently, but Lord, you lead me. You guide my footsteps. Who can I impact? Who can I be a help to? Not in myself, not some workup, not some, Lord, I'm going to be some super duper spiritual something. Maybe it's just dropping a note to let somebody know, hey, I've been thinking about you, or I've been praying for you, or I read this quote, or I heard this tape, or I read this scripture in my devotions today that, you know, I thought might help you. You know, that's not some big super duper supernatural something, but it might impact somebody's day. Amen. It might get them, you know, maybe they're walking around and their bottom lip hanging the ground and dragging, oh, nobody loves me and nobody cares for me. Nobody ever thinks about me. And then you do that and, you know, they have to say, well, I guess brother so-and-so cares. Even if it's just him, I guess brother so-and-so does. Just that one. There's other people that they have dozens or hundreds of people that care about him. But just that one brother, if that's the only one that cares about me, Lord, I guess that'll be enough. If that's my cross to bear. And then all of a sudden somebody else texts them and said, hey, we're thinking about you. Praying. Oh, you mean there's more than one, Lord? You mean I'm not like Elijah? I'm not the only one that's still believing and serving and living? Hey, you know, I don't know about you. I need encouragement every once in a while. Amen. And so if you want encouragement, you know, I would encourage you, be an encourager to somebody else. Right. Amen. Sometimes people sit there and think, well, nobody ever calls me. Brother Layton, nobody ever invites me out to eat. When's the last time you called somebody? When's the last time you invited them out to eat?
All right.
When's the last time you accepted when somebody did invite you? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to dismiss and go home. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962. Now, that is the house that God dwells in. This is one of Brother Trevor's favorite quotes. That is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple. See, I can still read that quote. Somebody said, poor Brother Nathan, he's got a church with a steeple. Oh, poor Brother Nathan. Hasn't he read enough quotes to know what Brother Bram said about steeples? Well, if you want to pay to go up there and remove it, I guess I'll let you. But other than that, we'll just keep the one that was here when we bought the building. And when we build another one, we probably won't put a steeple on it. But I'll just leave it the way it is. Oh, poor Brother Nathan. He's got stained glass. Is he going back to the Catholic Church? No, it was here when we came, and there's nothing offensive on it. So I'm not going to put $8,000 into it, reorchestrating it, unless it gets knocked in by a storm or something. So we're just doing with what God has blessed us with. Amen. If he wanted to bless me with the church without a steeple and without stained glass windows and without a bell, I figure he'd bless me with one, Brother Trevor. Now, that is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, see? But a body thou hast prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. God can walk in. God can see in. God can talk in. God can work in. He said, amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. That's the body that God dwells in. You know, I hate to disappoint you, but when we all go home, And you take your little lick of fire and you go back to the Stutzman residence, and you take your little lick of fire and go back to the Ventura residence, and there's nobody here. You know, somebody said about the angels lining the walls, what Brother Bram said in different places, several different churches, he talks about them lining the walls. You know, I don't think when we all go home that the angels are still lining the walls here in the building. And that you can drive by and see a big pillar of fire up over the top of the building, and that we have to come in here and say, Lord, are you here? We'd like to meet with you at Church of the Open Door on 1221 Silver Street, Lord, because we know you meet us here. You know why he meets us here? It's not because of the building that they built back in the late 70s. It's not because of the sign out front. It's not because of who the pastor is. It's because that licks of fire come and they bring him with him. Amen. And then the angels of the Lord are lining the walls because he said that the angels of God encamp around them that fear them. But God doesn't just dwell in a building anymore. The temple that God dwells in is human beings that have consecrated their life to him so that he can come. God's not going to pick up the building and walk down the road and say, hey, there's a drunk guy down the street, so the building's going to walk down the road and going to witness to somebody. Or when they drive by, he's not going to supernaturally blink the lights on and off in Morse code to tell them, hey, this is the church you need to go to.
Amen.
They think, goodness gracious, good thing I learned Morse code in the Navy. Goodness. Praise God. God doesn't just work through electrical currents, but He will give you unction. He'll electrify you. He'll energize you to go out and say, hey, God is doing something in this age. God has done something for me. God is moving in my life. That's the temple that God dwells in. A body that God can dwell in. A body that God can walk in down to Walmart or down to the gas station or down to your school or down to your work or something. Maybe God hasn't walked in there in years, but He sends somebody walking in those doors on 2 feet. A body that God can talk in. A body that God can work in. Living instrumentality of God walking on 2 feet in you. He said, glory, the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you. Say, oh, Brother Nathan, my loved ones, my neighbor, my milkman, the lady I work with in the cubicle beside me at work, I sure wish God would do something for him. Well, maybe he's been trying to, but you're just too stubborn to let him use you a little while. God works through people. Brother Bram said that was the greatest thing that God ever asked anybody to do, was to believe another man. And yet that's how he works. When Moses came down, if God had come down with a whirlwind and cut out the chariots of Egypt and stood there in a supernatural body and said something, it wouldn't have been as hard for him to understand that. But when this guy that they thought was a murderer, 40 years later, comes walking back with a crooked stick and his wife and kids on a little old donkey there and says, hey, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt, it was hard for him to believe that. But God did it anyhow, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
The angel of the Lord, 1951, he says, really live for him. Be true to him. Love him so much that he, everything else becomes secondary.
Amen.
If you really love him enough, you can say amen to this, that everything else becomes secondary. My job, my house, my family, my agenda, my opinion, my desires, whatever it is that you like to do, oh, that's wonderful. I thank God he's blessed me with a good family. I thank God he's blessed me with a good church. Thank God that he's blessed me with clothes on my back and shoes on my feet and a roof over my head and good godly friends. And I thank God that he's blessed me with the ability to do different things. But once those things ever take the forefront and he takes a back seat, that's when it will all begin to crumble. As I said here, I think it was maybe a few services ago, if you want to see this church go downhill, all you need to do is just put me up on a pedestal and just brag on me and give all the glory to Brother Nathan, and it'll tank faster than it came uphill. But if we'll keep giving the glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, it's okay to say Brother Trevor did a good job. It's okay to say, Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, you did a wonderful job in your sermon. It's okay to say, thank God for a good pastor. That's all right. I'm not saying you can't say those things. But when you begin to put us up and, well, nobody is like our pastor. Nobody can evangelize like our evangelist. Nobody can teach like our teachers. Well, when you begin to start getting that mentality, God will just begin to humble you and start bringing you back down the other side of the mountain. He'll bring us down and humble us so that he can bring us back up again. But it's God that gets the true glory. Everything else should be secondarily. Your job, I thank God if he's blessed you with a good job. Your education, I thank God if he's blessed you for an education. Your family, I thank God for good godly families that we have. But it all should be secondarily to, Lord, what do you want? What do you want in my life? Yes. Brother Branham said, I may have read the quote here. I don't know if I read it here or not, but I know I shared it with some brothers. I read a quote recently where Brother Branham said, if his family came in, his wife and his children told him, hey, no more preaching, he said, I'd pack my bags and leave. Why? Because he was mean? Because he didn't love his family? No, because God came first. God came first. When God tells you something, you let everything else become secondarily and you do what God tells you to do. He says, and then you'll love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your might. God will lead you then. Amen. I know we're running out of time. Musicians, if you'd come, let me read one more quote and we'll try to close tonight. Fellowship, 1955. He says, God let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace before he ever turned a hand. He's always there. Don't be scared. Whatever you're facing. Maybe it's scary. Maybe the situation looks bad. Maybe it's a terrible family situation. Maybe it's a terrible financial situation. Maybe the doctor says, hey, we don't know if there's any hope. Maybe whatever it is, maybe your situation at your job, maybe your boss is terrible, or Maybe you young people at school, maybe your school teacher is the worst school teacher in the world, but not if you're a homeschooler.
Amen.
Let me just put that disclaimer out there. And then God bless you with one of the best ones. Whether you can see it now or not, you'll see it later. Some of us stubborn little homeschoolers learn eventually, Mom. The sacrifice that goes into it. But no matter how dark the situation looks, He's always there, so don't be scared. He said He's always present. Amen. Then, if the footsteps of a righteous man is ordered of the Lord, what we got to fear? God before you, who can be against you? He said, oh my, think of it.
Amen.
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 So the situation you were telling me about, Brother Tao, back at your home church, God's greater than that, man. God's greater than the situation. God's greater than the struggle. Some of you that's sitting here tonight with problems in your life, God is greater than those things. God is bigger than those things. Don't fear. Don't forget who's in the boat with you. See, the disciples got scared because they forgot who was in the boat with them. But when we recognize He's with me and He's guiding my footsteps, if I'll just take the time to lay down my stubbornness and lay down my pride and lay down all my figuring it out, if I can just take the time and say, Lord, I need you to realign me. Lord, my compass is all off and I'm not sure if I'm headed in the right direction anymore or not. But Lord, I need you to realign me and head me in the right direction, Lord. He'll lead you and He'll guide you and He'll stay with you. Amen. He promised that He would be. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know how many that it helped tonight. Maybe it was one. Maybe it was 10. Maybe it was half the congregation. I don't know, Lord. All I know is, Lord, I've tried to do what you led me to do. So I commit the rest of it to you, Lord. May the word not fall flat on the ground, but may it find its resting place in the hearts of those that needed it. May it encourage them. May it strengthen them. Lord, maybe they're in valleys of decisions, valleys of shadows and darkness and discouragement, Lord. But Lord, may the word that went forth tonight, not because it was from me, Lord, but because, Lord, we were reading the quotes and scriptures with it, and I believe the Holy Spirit was giving us the unction for it, Lord. May it shine light in the middle of their darkness and encourage them to recognize that you're walking with them in their storm. Oh, Lord, we commit it to you. Lord, may people go out of here encouraged. May they go out of here better than they was when they came in.
Amen.
Heal the sick. Save the lost. Fill the empty, Father, I pray. Lord, for this prayer request that I was just handed, Lord, Sister Courtney Vaughn that injured her knee, Lord, and wanted prayer. Father, may you go to her now and touch her, Lord. Heal her knee, I pray. Heal the sick in our midst, Lord. Restore this one to the Sargent family, Lord, that Lord, you've already spared their life, Lord, but may you bring them emotional healing, Lord. May you bring them back to a condition where they can recognize that they're loved and cared about and that you love them. Do something in them, Lord. Bring something positive from this darkness that they're walking in, Lord. Bring light to their life. Lord, if that was one of our loved ones, we want somebody to pray the prayer of faith for them, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will go to that hospital bed or wherever they're at. Lord, may they realize that there's a peace that they've maybe never experienced that you can give them, a peace that passes understanding. Go to them now and pray, Father. Lord, for some that are sitting here tonight, they've been beaten down. Lord, maybe they've been made fun of because of their stand for the word or what they believe. Maybe they've been spoken evil of even by family members or people that love them, Lord. Lord, it was in the house of your friends that you got your worst wounds as well, Father. Lord, I ask you to be with each one. Comfort them, Lord. Be the comforter that only you can. Help them to realize many times when people say things, Lord, they don't even realize what they're saying. But maybe it was just a trial that was predestinated for us before the foundation of the world to see how we would react to it, to see if we could turn around and still love that person and pray for them no matter what they said about us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be real Christians. Give us that unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may our human nature not rise up when situations like that happen, but may the unction of the Holy Spirit rise up and teach us how to act and how to react to an action, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you, Jesus. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Oh, you are great. Lord, you do miracles so great. Lord, there is no one else like you. Oh, there is no like you. Oh, you deserve the glory, all the glory, all the glory. We lift our hands, we worship, Lord, we magnify. Oh, can we just worship Him tonight? He's worthy of it. Deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands, oh, we worship and we magnify. Oh, you deserve the glory, all the glory.
Healing is here.
my healing is spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing, whatever kind of healing you need tonight. Oh, His healing is healing. Lord, and I believe it. So I reach my hands to the heavens, lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to is your Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Amen. For his healing, for his love, for his power. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together tonight?
Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Just open the floodgates of heaven. Oh, let down in my soul, oh, let it rain. Just open the floodgates of heaven.
You believe he's raining down on his people tonight? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, when I rose up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. Oh, I knew that my Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you'll please, I rose up shouting. Oh, I told Satan.
sorrows this morning. Oh, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. Well, I got down on my knees. I said, Lord. Well, I rose up singing, shouting victory. Holy Ghost is mine, the Holy Ghost is mine, the Holy Ghost today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get me behind, the Holy Ghost today is mine. Oh, victory is mine, oh, victory today. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I would serve. Join the Christian band. And now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that serve him till I die, but now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Now I'm fighting for the kingdom, and the battle's almost won. Oh, soon the trumpet will be sounding for the coming of the sun. Oh, I'll lay my armor down, pick up my robe and crown, then I'll walk the streets of gold with my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him. God bless you, saints. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed. For my Lord, I lost my flag in battle. My staff, it's in my hand. I'm taking it to Jesus over in that promised land. In distant lands I've tried, crying sinner, come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I would serve. Till I die, and now I'm on the battlefield.